Okay. Hello? Okay. Okay, the reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. And do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people, then when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Well, as we've already mentioned, we're in 21 days of prayer and fasting. Maybe we needed to pray a little bit harder for the Lions to come home last night. Didn't end up quite getting there. Almost, Bruce. We almost got there. Part of what we're seeking to do through these 21 days of prayer and fasting is to seek the Lord's will for our collective church and to be able to understand more of where he'll be leading this church into the future. And to start out our time today, what I just want to do is I'm going to read this passage once again. We can't read the Lord's Prayer too many times. And what I want us to do, we are holistic beings. We are mind, body, soul, and spirit. And I'm just going to get us all to stand as we're reading this. And when we get to the section that you see on the screen, I'm going to ask you to read that aloud with me. Okay? So would you stand to your feet? And let me read this once again. And when we get to the part on the screen, I'd just love you to read that aloud with me. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Oh, sorry, we'll go back to that. The other one. Go back. The slide two. That one. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts, and we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you, everyone. You can grab a seat. Today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be speaking on the practice of prayer. Already throughout this series, we have spoken on the purpose of prayer, and we have also spoken of the posture of prayer. The purpose of prayer is to be able to encounter and meet with our Abba Father. The posture of prayer that we are supposed to have, that we see throughout Scripture represented through both kneeling and arms raised, a posture of surrender. And today we're going to be speaking about the practice of prayer. Throughout the history of the church, different disciplines that people do have sometimes been known as practices. These include reading your Bible, serving God through your gifts, through giving, fasting, and also this practice of prayer. The term practice is not something that's unintentional for people because it represents both a noun, a word which is a thing, but also a verb which is a doing word. It's both a thing but also something that we do. A practice is something that you need to practice, and it's something which takes practice to master. There's this concept that was begun by a psychologist called Anders Ericsson and made popular by Malcolm Gladwell that says it takes 10,000 hours to master any skill or practice. This is generally done in the context of sport or learning a musical instrument and a couple of other things. And the thought is that if you spend 10,000 hours of highly focused, structured activity on a specific thing, on improving performance, then you will be become a master of whatever that is, of that practice. Now, that means that by this rule, if you spend 1 hour per day practicing something, it will take you over 27 years to master it. Now, there are some flaws with this general rule. I don't think if I start practicing now for 27 years that I'll end up on the Lions team. However, broadly speaking, it makes sense that to master a skill or a practice that you need to spend a really long time in doing it. Growing up, my family was fairly musical. I have two siblings, very highly competitive siblings, and it was always a thing in our household of who was the best musician out of all of them. I, of course, was number one. My sister, she completed what's called her LMUS, which is a very high standard in piano, and my brother had opportunities to play drums in the Junior Conservatorium. He played professionally in the Army Reserve, and he was on his way at one stage to playing for part of QPAC until he found out how little they get paid. My siblings, they always thought that they were the best musicians in the house, but none of them were able to play anywhere near the number of instruments that I am able to play. So I am fluent in, I feel like I'm tooting my own horn a bit here, don't I? I'm fluent in drums, guitar, bass, piano, saxophone, and I played Jean Valjean from Les Miserables in our high school musical. And so automatically, does that make me the best musician in our household because I could play the most? Now, I'm fluent in all of these different disciplines or practices of music, but I found with every single one of them, there came a point where you have to hit this next level and you need to do really boring exercises again and again and again. My sister would practice the same few bars of music over and over and over again to be able to master what she needed to. It was going on in our house nonstop. My brother would spend hours trying to nail certain fills or practice certain patterns on the drums, and it was always very, very loud. For me, I just wanted to be good enough that it was fun. I didn't want to go into all of the boring stuff. I never really wanted to master any of these instruments. And so technically, unless they're listening to this on the podcast, they're probably the better musicians. I will never say that to their face. There is the well-known phrase, which is, of course, practice makes perfect. And whilst perfection may not really be attainable with anything, it's true that practicing a practice, it makes you improve over time, which is why we're going to be speaking about the practice of prayer this morning. It's something that develops and grows, that we're able to master more and more over time. Well, and we're going to be looking at four different passages which speak to this. And we began our time this morning looking at the Lord's Prayer. Now, when you come to the Lord's Prayer, this is not just something that Matthew, who's the author, is just trying to vaguely recall from the back of his mind and put his own sort of spin on it. This is something that was taught in a very specific, even methodical way from Jesus to his disciples. Part of the way that we can know that is because Luke's gospel shares an abbreviated version of this prayer with very similar language. Now, there are differences in these versions if you compare the two of those, But that's because they are different authors with different purposes trying to meet different needs. And so Luke's version is simply a shortened version of this longer Lord's Prayer. These words of the Lord's Prayer, they are specific words, and they are endeavoring to help a follower of Jesus to be able to understand how to pray. Now, this is not the be-all and end-all of all prayer throughout Scripture. We see multiple prayers spoken of throughout the entire New Testament. Rather, this is a foundation point for us to be able to launch from, to understand in knowing how to talk to God. This is usually the first way that we're able to understand what prayer is, or the practice of prayer, talking to God. This is where praying the Psalms or liturgies or following a prayer plan can be really helpful. Now, generally speaking, even if I use that word liturgy, many Baptist churches have chosen to try and steer away from that. I actually find that quite arrogant. That's coming from a Baptist pastor of over 15 years. Often, Baptist churches have pushed written prayers like liturgies to the side because we can find them constricting or formal or formulaic, which is just not true. Written prayers, like the Lord's Prayer, can be incredibly helpful at different seasons in our lives. When we're learning to pray, when we're exhausted or when we're sick, when we're traveling and find it hard to focus, if we're living with grief and doubt in our life, if we're searching for the right words to say to God. The prayers of the saints, as some call them, they can carry us through. My son, Zechariah, he is 3 years old now, and he is still learning to talk. There are some phrases which he is very good at and others that he struggles with. And he has recently become obsessed with singing the song Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. But unfortunately, he only knows one part of it. So he knows, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. And that's it. He doesn't know that up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. He's not able to sing that middle part of the song, and it becomes very tedious hearing my son singing, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are, on repeat for a very long time. And so we are doing everything that we can to teach him both the middle of the song, but also the other children's songs that use the same tune, which is the alphabet and also Ba Ba Black Sheep, just in case you didn't know. We're trying to teach him this is how it's done. We're not trying to restrict him in teaching him these different words and these different lyrics. We're trying to help him in being able to understand how he can sing even more. Now, when it comes to having different tools to be able to help you talk to God, the great thing about the world that we live in today is we are never short of resources. We are the most well-resourced community that has ever, well-resourced time that has ever lived. And so I just want to suggest 3 different tools that you can write down if you would like some tools that might be able to help. Firstly, there is an app called Lectio 365, where there are updated regularly different ways to be able to talk to God throughout your day. There is also a website called Every Moment Holy, which gives different prayers to be able to pray to God throughout different moments and stages throughout your life. And finally, the book How to Pray by Pete Gregg is a very helpful thing if you are looking for a book to understand more on talking to God. Now, if you're wanting something helpful to talk to God, just straight from what we have just read, you can follow what's called the ACTS method from the Lord's Prayer. You just have to remember A, C, T, S. So firstly, A, adoration. The whole Lord's Prayer, it starts with, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It focuses on the holiness of God, his creativity, his wonder, on his majesty. So adoration. Then the C is confession. So forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So this aligns with us asking for forgiveness for what we have done. Then thanksgiving. Give us today our daily bread, often implicitly included through the acknowledgement of God's provision, such as give us today our daily bread and the overall theme of trust in God's kingdom. And then finally, supplication. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Supplication is just a fancy way of saying asking God for things. As I've shared with some of you, last year was a difficult year for myself. I was trying to navigate certain hardship that I was going through in my own life. And in moments of my own hardship and difficulty that I was going through, simply working up the effort to know what should I be praying this morning, it can be really difficult. And you can sit there just wondering, what are the words that I should be praying right now? And so for me, when those moments came, I wanted to pray, I just didn't know what to pray. And so I talked to God through the prayers of others, through the prayers that we find in Scripture, through the prayers that have been written by followers of Jesus over thousands of years. And things like what I have just given you, Lectio 365, Every Moment Holy, How to Pray by Pete Gregg, and if you are wanting something to help, like the ACTS method, these can be really helpful tools in understanding talking to God. So prayer is talking to God, but it is also talking with God. And there are two different aspects to this. Firstly, pray real prayers. And secondly, pray continual prayers. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, we see some very short verses. Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So this first aspect, pray real prayers. That might sound contrary to some of this passage because it says rejoice always and give thanks in everything. But it says right in the middle, pray continually. It's one of the shortest verses in the entire Bible. We rejoice and yes, we give thanks, but it never negates what we are really going through in each moment of our everyday life. There is a book in the Bible called Lamentations, written by this really complaining dude called Jeremiah. And the book is literally a book of complaints to God. That is what a lament is. It's a complaint. The most common form of psalms throughout the entire Bible are laments. It is complaints. We are not good at this in Western churches. We don't really have songs of lament where we're whinging to God, even though that is the most common form of song in the songbook of the Bible. And this is a symptom of what I think is a symptom of our wider culture, not being able to be necessarily real and authentic, trying to put on our best self in front of others, despite what's going on in our lives. Sadly, I think I've shared this maybe from the front before, but my wife and I had a miscarriage 3 days before Christmas in 2024. And my wife was talking to someone very, very close to her about this only a few days later. She was feeling really upset about everything which had happened. And the person's reply, and I'm not joking about this, the person's reply when my wife was saying how she was feeling was, well, at least the weather has been nice lately. It's actually kind of funny in hindsight. It wasn't in the moment, but you got to laugh now. That is probably the clearest example I've ever heard, where someone has been unwilling and unable to deal with any form of pain and hurt, whether that is their own or someone else's. We're not necessarily good at this in Western culture. And yet if God is calling us to pray continually, that means that He is calling us to pray through the good and the bad. Be authentic, genuine, open and honest with him. You can only do that if you pray continually. A book, I'm going to give you some resources the whole way through this. Once again, a book that can help you in understanding talking with God that's very helpful is a book by a guy called Tyler Staton called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. I'm going to send out these resources in the email later on this week. But remember that, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. Very helpful if you are trying to understand more of talking with God. Now, this is usually the point where people will leave prayer. We talk to God, we talk with God, but the primary way a true disciple of Jesus gets to know Jesus is actually from listening to him. Throughout the Gospels, we see the followers of Jesus primarily asking questions and waiting to listen. The only example that really contradicts what I've said is the example of Peter, and he is constantly getting rebuked by Jesus for not really listening. In Luke 10:39, it was said of Jesus' disciple Mary that she sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. In John 10:27, we see this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Listening, it has to be an integral part of the practice of prayer, and it does take practice to do it. The great philosopher, Elvis Presley, says this, "Stop, look, and listen, baby. That is my philosophy." Wise words from Elvis right there. As I mentioned previously, my son, Zach, is currently learning to be able to talk a little bit more each day. And I was aware that teaching him to be able to talk and use certain phrases was going to take some teaching and practice on my part to my son, but I was probably less aware that there is also teaching and practice that needs to be done on listening. On a regular basis, my son will say, "I want this," and I will say, "You need to say, please." And his response will be, "I want this." And I will say, "You need to say, please." And he keeps going and going and going, and eventually it clicks for him. Oh, if I say please, then I'll be able to get the thing that I want. So then he says, "I want this, please." And he eventually gets there. All that he has to do in those moments is listen, but also he needs to obey. Listening is an integral part of praying to God, but if you listen, if God does speak to you, you also need to respond and obey. Tucker preached on this a few weeks ago if you want to go deeper into this. Listening is the first step, but if you are going to genuinely pray to God, ask him to speak to you, listen to him, then you need to be willing and able to respond in obedience to what he says to you. You need to be prepared to follow him no matter what he says. A practice that can help you in listening to God is the practice of Lectio Divina, if you have heard of this before. Lectio Divina, it involves four different movements. Firstly, read. Secondly, reflect. Thirdly, respond. Fourthly, rest. So firstly, read. Find a passage of Scripture, a passage of your choice, and read through it slowly. Read through it carefully. Pay special attention to any of the words or phrases that God is speaking to you about or that might move you and deeply resonate within you. Then reread the passage again slowly. This time, pause over those words or phrases that have stuck out to you. Meditate on them. Turn over them in your mind and savor them. Then respond. So pray those impressions back to God. Use your own words or simply pray that text back to God, and then rest. Just take a few minutes in silence to breathe deeply and rest in God's loving word to you. So we talk to God, we talk with God, we listen to God, and practicing prayer also simply means being with God. 2 Corinthians 3:12-18, it says, "Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. but their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because the only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, this is the key verse in verse 18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The picture throughout this and the word that is constantly repeated through this passage in 2 Corinthians is speaking of a veil. The picture of a veil, it goes back to ancient times. It was used for multiple different things. But like we would use it today, in the Greco-Roman world, it was used like how we would use it for weddings. And so the image here is that when we come to know Jesus, it's like we're pulling off this veil in how we understand God and who, and we see him for who he really is. We had glimpses before, but now we see the reality. The marriage imagery is the primary imagery throughout the New Testament and what it uses in painting God's relationship with his church. And it's this beautiful picture because it shows that we don't need to be doing stuff all the time in our relationship with God. We can simply just be with him. When I first met my wife, Sarah, as is normal, I would go around her house and have dinner with her and her parents. And when we would do that, one thing was very different in how we would experience meals together. And that is, we would sit around the table, and while they were eating, they did not talk. They just sat there eating their food. And my family was not like this growing up. We were loud. We would have strong-minded discussions and often arguments about different things. And so going into an environment where you would just sit and be and eat your dinner together was a very foreign thing for me to experience. Even when we went further along in our dating relationship, it was very easy for Sarah to simply sit and be with me. I did not find that as easy. I thought I needed to constantly be talking to her. But she has been able to teach me and help me understand that enjoying one another's company doesn't always mean talking to one another, or even more so, me talking at her. It means just simply being with her, enjoying her presence, looking at her, understanding who she is simply by being with her. And this is the same as our relationship with God. When we come to know Jesus, the veil has been removed. It is gone. And so we are able to simply sit and enjoy the presence of God, to be with him, our Father who loves us. A tool that might help you if you want to understand what it's like to be with God, or even on a daily basis, is the prayer of examine. It's a very, very old practice, but it's something that might be able to help you, and feel free to look that up, the prayer of examine. All of these things, talking to God, talking with God, listening to God, and being with God, these are not steps in becoming a better prayer or a more mature Christian or anything like that. These are simply ways that we always constantly need to practice as followers of Jesus if we are going to know God more through prayer. Prayer is such a beautiful thing that we have with our Heavenly Father. The fact that we are able to access God at any stage is an amazing thing that we are able to do. And we need to practice this together as God's people to be able to grow as faithful prayers towards him. And so what we're going to do, what we began with once again. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. We're going to read it out loud. and then we're going to sing together. So would you stand to your feet and let's read this once again. We're not reading this just to recite it. We're not just reading this out of habit. We want these words to be genuine and real within their hearts as we say these. So let's say this together. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Would you remain standing? And so right now, God, as your people, we desire to be genuinely a people of prayer, not a people who just talk about prayer or who invest into prayer just throughout 21 days of this year. We really do ask, Lord, would you help us to grow as prayers? And as we pray to you, would we experience more of your presence? Would we understand more of your power? Would we understand more of your glory and your wonder and your nearness and your love? We really do pray that, Lord. We pray that we might be a people who practice prayer faithfully so that we might encounter you more and so that we might see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to close our service by...